Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, we do. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app. It's Joey, Daisy, Damo and Duck as always. Good afternoon, gents. How are you all going?
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. Good to be back, by the way. Busy last week over in Adelaide. And spent enough time to get in and obviously do the show.
You couldn't even given us half an hour of your time last week, Duck. You're out the door with 5 minutes to go.
You know what? You started rambling in the end. I just thought, I've got to get out. Rupert was waiting for me. I was obviously, he waited around. I had to have a chat to him and ran into Bluey and a few of the other Triple M jars. And yeah, it was good.
Good afternoon. You got your work done?
It was good.
Yeah, so got all your meetings and everything done?
Good.
Yeah.
Long good lunch after that.
How are you, Damo?
I'm well, thanks, Joey. Good. I'm probably better than the guy sitting to my immediate right, who looks very ginger when I walked into the studio today.
Yes, I am.
If you pulled up, it is Wednesday now. You were definitely limping on the weekend. Are you still limping now?
I'm still quite sore, yes. I probably haven't taken the recovery as seriously as I once did. I managed to make myself to Electric up the road on Sunday night just for a couple and then went out for dinner Monday night and then dinner again last night. So recovery hasn't been great. However, exclusive, I've been roped into playing again this weekend, Joey.
What?
Sorrento Sharks in the twos. They've got no players, so I'm going down a level just to get me confidence back up down there at Dramana in the twos.
Almost hand the bib over.
You've been dropped.
I've been basically dropped, and I'm not getting paid this week.
I knew he was in trouble, Joey. As soon as he ran out, he had the long sleeves on.
Old pagan style. You used to wear long sleeves.
So I wore it a couple of times, but it didn't matter. But
I'll tell you when I knew.
Especially at that level, you know, you don't wear long sleeves.
I'll tell you when I knew I was in trouble. When they gave me number 30, the long sleeve, I put it on, my midriff was showing. So I had to go for number 60.
Oh, you did change numbers.
I had to, yeah. Oh. The first jumper didn't quite get around me.
So how did you go playing for Balan on the weekend? How was the experience?
Look, it was good fun. I had a genuine ball down there. Probably not the greatest standard of football you'll ever come across. That's from what I was producing as well as the other boys as well. Kicked 2 points in the first minute. And one of them was from about 10 metres out. Sorry about that, fellas. But no, it was good fun. My only sort of apprehensions of the day was that maybe someone might try and be a hero and try and clock me or something behind play. The boys in the back line for Dalesford were rippers, happily talk crap all day, and I didn't go near the ball too often, so I didn't get hurt.
So from the best player, according to Ross Lyon, in the entire competition in 2009/2010 yep. to Sorrento Reserves coming Saturday. Yeah. How you going, bud?
It's a big fall.
But you can't be in the top forever. Maybe this will be the start of me comeback.
Yeah, sort of talking. I'd probably still get a game for the first there.
I said I'm just helping a mate out down there obviously I would be playing ones or, you know, if I wanted to at Carlton at the minute, still in there.
Speaking of talking a bit of...
Certainly North Melbourne.
Talking a bit of rubbish with the defenders, we've got a little bit of a highlights package from your game at Balan.
Long and strong if you can. Get it, the big boy.
How many runs?
Three, Max. Get on the boat!
Well done, well done!
Somebody kick thing! I don't know if I need a beer. I think I need an asthma puffer. Light it up here.
There you go.
Press record on the VHS, boys. I might take a blowtorch to this joint this quarter. Get it near me. I'll do the rest this quarter. I've had a couple of ciders. Let's go. Four to get this quarter, boys. I don't know. Near me. Come on, keep putting it near me.
That's very good. So you got an Amazon documentary or something along with this game?
I was mic'd up exclusively for the Heater and Daisy show, so Channel 7 came down, but it was really good fun. And as you heard, I was breathing quite heavily, but the confidence levels, although I wasn't playing great, my confidence level was once I took the first one, I was like, oh, I'm on here, I'm going to kick 15.
I know they're not heavy, the mics and that sort of stuff, but when you're not in your best condition, even carrying a mic around is a little bit daunting.
I got a long ball in about the first couple of minutes. I had the perfect sit for a hanger. I was like, oh boy, right in front of where the members were, all the patrons down there having a couple of beers. I went to take off and I didn't quite elevate upwards. I just went through. I took out the whole pack at knee high. What am I doing with my life?
And the Yabby racing afterwards.
Oh, mate,
the Sportsman's Night, that was the highlight.
Yeah, the Sportsman's Night was good. The Yabby races. Hey, they love their Yabbies down there.
Mate, the Yabby expert here.
Are you really?
Yeah, love Yabbying. Yabbing's the best thing ever. Well, right? And the other person that thinks he sits right alongside is Mark, the great Mark Ricciuto.
Right.
He's got a tank in the middle of his house, yeah. Right, which one would think you'd have beautiful exotic fish swimming around in. He has yabbies
really?
With murky water in the middle of his house. That's breeds yabbies yeah. in Duck, the middle of his house.
Duck, as good as wow. a story as that is, well, yep. Josie had the floor there and he's just taken that story again.
Yeah, no, I like that. Your story is better than mine.
It's about yabbies.
Yeah, it was all relevant.
They go, you know, they go backwards, don't you? They don't run forwards.
They sit there, they put him in the middle of the ring, and they had like, there's probably, you know, 400 or 500 people in the room. They'd all bought him. They sold for big bucks, like $1,500 or more per yabby. These what? People were paying.
So how does a yabby race work? I didn't even know they went backwards.
So they had a box with sort of 10 allocations. They held the yabbies auctioned them off.
They bred them to race, did they?
And if you won, you got half the prize pool, second, right. etc., and the club took the rest. So they put him in the box. They lifted it up. Everyone's cheering. Well, the yabbies didn't move. It was a big like, hey, and then they didn't move. One of the yabbies stuck to the inside of the box. He didn't want to take part. And then about 5 minutes later, one of them sort of just backed his way out of the ring.
Bigger's not better with yabbies.
I was going to ask, how do you know which yabby looks better?
The little flippy ones can...
the parade ring?
They can fly along, just the little flippy ones, right. The ones we use for fishing. Yeah. They can...
I can imagine Ricciuto and Duck just catching up and just going yabbying on a Saturday afternoon.
What do you do, Duck? Tie a bit of bacon around the end of the rope? Is that what it was? Or how did you catch them?
Well, we used to use pots, but the old-fashioned way is just with a bit of string and just with a bit of meat on the end.
Yeah.
And pull them in, and you can even use your mum's fish and chip scooper or the, what do you call it, when you...
A strainer.
Just a little strainer. You can use that. But generally pots.
Well, that's the beauty of this show. We will tell you how to catch yabbies. We'll talk about everything you need to know and more.
You learn a bit about everything on this show, but we want to get into the footy after this, particularly the Tigers pub altercation and plenty more other footy news. Stick with us. Triple M's Footy Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did anyway.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app. It's time for Damo's news. As always, Damo, in footy, there's plenty happening. Let's start with the incident down at Tigerland over the weekend with Dan Rioli and Shea Bolton.
Pretty sure we've seen the last and heard the last of it, guys. As best I can tell, as we talk on this Wednesday afternoon, really early Wednesday afternoon, the club dealt with it over the course of the weekend. AFL was informed on Monday. Timelines are interesting. Players got into the damage, so to speak, around midnight Saturday, told the club Sunday afternoon. AFL was informed Monday afternoon. You can, I suppose, ask questions as to why it went down that certain path. But having said all that, come Monday night, the AFL is not in the habit of putting a line on certain investigations to a point without having confidence that's the case. And nothing we've seen or heard since suggests that it will just be anything other than what we know it to be. A skirmish, which is understandable with the reaction of the Tigers players. Hads, having said that, not preferable action. And that was Benny Gale basically paraphrasing him yesterday. Damien Hardwick had a slightly different view to that. But that's people's reactions to it. So I feel it goes away. The problem now is the injury caused to Shea Bolton through breaking the wrist in that fracas.
Some of the commentary around it, though, is very interesting, as saying, should blokes be out? Can they, you know, as an AFL player, you shouldn't be in that position in the first place. I just think we need to pump the brakes to some extent. They weren't going out hunting for trouble. They found themselves in a situation they'd like to have over again, I'm sure. They had their time again, like everything. But at some point, you have to live your life. Yeah. You're an AFL player. You're under different sort of guidelines to some extent throughout the week with what you can and can't do. But at the same time, you should be treated like a general member of the public to some extent when you go out. You're allowed to enjoy your life. You're allowed to have a good time. And you shouldn't have deals coming up and just trying to start stuff for the fact that you're AFL footballers.
And by the sound of it, there's a lot of players from different clubs. They're all together. Yeah. So they probably felt, well, not probably, probably felt very safe all being, you know, in such a big group.
In number.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter, does it? You've got pickles everywhere when you go out. Even if you're sitting amongst yourselves enjoying your own company, there are always people that try and, you know, pick fights. I remember a night we're just sitting around, a few of us, and another group of men started throwing ice at Rui, you know, like throwing ice to try and antagonize to get a reaction and stuff like that. That's, you know, you're always going to cross paths, but hopefully for the boys.
I did have one tweet that came across my desk, and I won't say who it's from, but it's got a blue tick on it, and it's quoting Damien Hardwick, we don't condone violence, but we understand. And it says, that goes on to say, this is simply not good enough from someone in a position as high as a premiership coach, effectively green-lighting violence and toxic masculinity. I would have thought what Damien said at the start is the opposite to that, saying that we don't condone it. So
who was it, Dace?
You'll have to find that out if you want to do it. But we just need to sometimes pump the brakes on this whole thing. Yes, they're young blokes who've made a mistake in terms of how it's happened and what's happened in the end, but they weren't out hunting for it, so just give them a bit of a spell.
I think COVID too has taught the industry a lot, and that is that some people just cannot cope with being kept inside the confines of their own house or a house they share with people. So I'm like you, Dave. I reckon if people want to go out every single night, if that's what gets them the freedom mentally, and if that works for them, go for it. The talk about banning footballers going out full stop, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Well, there's rules in place by a club, though. You can't drink on certain nights if you are to go out. You can't go out on certain nights. So there are different rules for footballers. However, they weren't breaking any of those rules. So the conversation that you're meant to be locked up, there'll be no one wanting to play our sport. Our sport is so good when you get to be yourself and show some personality. The minute it's becoming really vanilla in what you can and can't say and what you can and can't do.
What about Willy Rioli and the situation there with him, Damo?
Yeah, and for those who haven't caught up with it, he was caught by Northern Territory police in possession of cannabis. That will have a court hearing today. So we won't enter into too deeply into that part of the situation now. But obviously, it's another drug-related matter pertaining to Willy Rioli. The more serious one from a sports perspective was the performance-enhancing test, Duck, that he ended up substituting a sports drink for his own urine as a secondary test to one that he'd already detected cannabis in. So that's the footy issue. The trust issue is the one now that West Coast needs to wade through, not just from the administration of the football club, which is very angry with him. Concerned for him, by the way, and let's not lose sight of that. They care for him. They want to look after him, and I think they will. But they are angry with him, given that he was meant to be coming back to the club in August with an unlikely chance at playing finals. You can take that off the table right now. And then the unknown beyond 2021, does he stay on? I think he will. I think they will allow him to train with the club over summer, Duck, and maybe give him a chance to go into 2022. But that is on a knife's edge right now, given this latest incident.
I mean, he's got some personal stuff to work on.
Yep.
That's what it sounds like to me from afar. Obviously don't know the ins and outs, but from what you hear, he's got some personal things that he needs help with, and let's hope he gets them.
MRO news, the tribunal result with Scott Lysette, that we finally feel they got one right?
Yeah, I feel they got that right. I would have been okay with 3 weeks on that sling tackle on Ned McHenry. It was a really serious one of that type, Duck. Yeah. They gave him 4. The club has decided to cop it. So he's going to miss a bit of time because there's a bye wedged in between that period of time. So it'll be 5 weeks before he plays again. But I still line it up, Duck, and I know it's a different footy incident. I still line it up with last week, the same body, the tribunal itself, allowing Bailey Fritch to be freed of what he did to Powell of North Melbourne. I know they're different incidents, but ultimately it's their head involved.
Yeah, it's the outcome. Yeah, and the outcome was bad.
And you've been big on it the whole way through.
Simple as that.
Yeah, but I'm okay with them being harsh on these sorts of tackles because I'm still one of that thinks bumps are going to happen in football because I think there's always a place in footy where you're going to brace for contact and you are going to occasionally make head high contact and those sorts of things. But a tackle like that is something that you can stamp out of anyone's game. It's a choice to make that second action. So I don't mind them being harsh on that sort of tackle. The bump one, I still have a little bit of leniency that it's instinctive to protect yourself at times, and it's human nature. But those ones where the other player is vulnerable you have all the control, that should be banned.
They're all split decisions, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, of course.
And in real time, it is really difficult. And sometimes, even with that second action, Joey, if you think that the player has got his arm free, you know, you think, okay, he'll be able to protect himself. So, you know, it's having that understanding. You're right, though. I'm like I said, it's the action, not the outcome. That's what's got to be punished. Unfortunately for him, it is because of the outcome that he's got such a lengthy suspension.
Dave, are you okay with the 4 of
them? Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think at the minute now we're all, and from my point of view, I'm happy to see them go the overs rather than the unders. So if you're going to give him, you know, you said 3, I'm happy you went to 4 rather than say a 2 because then there'll be uproar. And it was a very dangerous thing. The young fellow was absolutely cooked on the bottom. And fortunately for him, he got up and he's okay now. But unfortunately, he wasn't great at the time.
And just lastly, more injuries. We've got carnage this year with really good players being injured. There's a lot of injuries going on at the AFL at the moment.
Yeah, I do often take the view, though, Joey, that the players get injured. I know we seem to have more at the moment, but I reckon when you line it up at the end of the year, there won't be. And I say that having covered this game for a long time now, that players get injured. Some clubs escape it.
Yeah.
Some clubs cover it. Usually there's one or two teams down the bottom, i.e. North Melbourne this year, which has got 1,000. Yeah. It happens. To me, it happens every year.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not trying to dismiss the topic, but good clubs get injuries to good players.
I want to ask you, Duck, because I've had the feel the last few weeks when you hear clubs after every loss blame injuries. And I'm a bit like you're starting to think, but every club has got injuries. Yeah. Like you can reel off at every club five or six players that are in their best 22 not playing. So is it a reason and an excuse for losing or?
Well, they're different things.
They are different things.
Yeah. There's reasons, but it's not an excuse.
Yeah. I get your point.
You don't use it as an excuse, but certainly there are reasons why we're where we're at. And there are clubs that have got better players out at the moment than other clubs. I would argue in the last few years, I reckon GWS and Collingwood in the last 3 years have had the worst injuries and worst luck out of any teams.
Yeah.
Richmond have had a really good run. And I know they've had years where they've had one or two out here and there and then they've got a couple back. And,
but not en masse.
Mm. Whereas right now they've got, three, four, five that are in their best team. So that's the first time for a few years now for the Tigers.
And is it coincidence or luck, Daisy, that at the moment clubs like Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs have almost got a full bill of health?
Well, probably a bit of both. Yeah. Again, to Duck's point, you can't use it for an excuse why you're not winning, but also conversely, if you are winning, it's a good thing to have. I just think it's interesting that I think we expected this last year. We were saying, the shorter quarters, it was going to be higher velocity, more impact, more collision. Didn't really happen. And then you fast forward sort of the 6 to 12 months and here we are.
Yeah, it's very good. Hey, stick with us because after this, we're going to go into the Duck Dive top five and we're going to preview the weekend's footy.
This is the Midweek Rock.
A little bit of a Tony De Liberatore there, Baz.
Triple M Rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
The Duck Dive Quick Five. Hey, just prior to the break, we spoke about the Richmond pub incident involving Shea Bolton and Daniel Rioli. I just want you to listen to this take from Tom Brown, Duck, and then get your first thoughts, please.
Maybe the AFL should have 6 or 7 nightclubs where the players tend to go to, and they have like some additional security.
You're suggesting the AFL buys nightclubs?
No, just like basically going to a deal with 6 or 7. You can name them, the Emerson, places like that, where you can get the security in there and maybe even get the players in their own area.
I like it, Tom. I like it. what's he thinking, Tom?
The Pies are ahead of the game. Swanee went and bought him a club. The Albion down the road. Swanee's a visionary.
That's the whole reason they go to the club. They don't want to be seen, Tom.
That's right.
They don't want to be seen. They don't want people to know that they're there. He comes up with some weird stuff, Tom.
Interesting. Interesting take, Tommy. I don't think that one will come off. Hey, next question for you, Duck. There's been a little bit of talk, and it was shot down pretty quickly, but we'll ask anyway, about would the West Coast Eagles be open to trading Elliot Yeo for Paddy Cripps? Would you do that trade if you were the West Coast Eagles?
Oh, I'd certainly go after Paddy Cripps. I think this criticism on Paddy Cripps at the minute is over the top. It has been all year. Surprised, though, that he started on the bench after half time. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Big surprise.
But clearly there's I don't know whether he's injured or there's something that he's not doing that they want him to do. And there's a little bit of friction there. But would I do it? No.
No. Okay. I wouldn't. Have you heard anything about Paddy Cripps' injuries? I'm starting to hear whispers that he might be carrying an injury that needs some sort of work week to week. And he does, to me, look like he's labouring on the football field. I love Paddy Cripps as much as anyone. It does look like he's carrying something the way that he's labouring at the moment.
To the point of actually going inside the inner sanctum and asking, I haven't done that, no. I tell you what has happened, though. Yes, he's copping the crap for not putting the output he's having or has had. Sam Walsh, on the back of that, though, has been unbelievable. And Cripper just taking the tag, taking the big hits, and then bringing Sam Walsh into the game.
Absolutely.
What he's doing there has been so underrated by so many.
Speaking of criticism of Carlton there, next question I want to ask you. There was a bit of criticism about Liam Jones this week and his ability to defend. Do you think that was fair?
I thought it was very unfair. I couldn't believe the criticism of Jones. Now, this is a guy that's turned his whole career around. He's become a defender. I think a very good defender. Now, yes, he'll get goals kicked on him. Yes, he's not the absolute smartest defender in terms of, you know, knowing when to go and when to stay. And sometimes he gets caught in between. And that's what happened on the weekend. But I tell you what, I did that game. And if it wasn't for Jones and Wiedering, they lose by 10, 15 goals. Simple as that. He saves goals and sometimes he gives them up.
Yeah. So,
because he's not, it could be because he's not perfect. But I tell you what, he gives his all. He's an unbelievable mark. I really like him, and I think he's having a very good year.
It's ridiculous when we take a snippet from a game, press pause and dissect it from 15 different views. He's making split-second decisions to come off his man to try and help others. Yes, you get caught in between, but one thing he does do, and anyone who's watched the Carlton game will see, when he goes, he goes. He might not get it right, but at least he makes a decision and sticks by it more times than
not. And I often say this, boys, and we're out of the game. I've been out a lot longer than you two. And I remember coming into the media, I remember saying, don't ever forget that you played the game and how hard the game is. And if you've never made a mistake or you've never crapped yourself on the footy field, then by all means, go your hardest.
Yep.
But I tell you what, there's not one footballer out there in the media that hasn't done either.
Yep. Now, very good point, Duck. Two to go. Question four. You mentioned at the start of the year that unfortunately the Kangaroos wouldn't win a game. This week they play Hawthorn in Tasmania. Is this the week that they can win a game of football? And then I want to get Damo's thoughts because I know Damo's big on the Kangaroos.
They're a chance.
Oh, come on, don't give us that. Yes, we this all know is, they're no, a chance.
Okay, yes, this is the week that they could prove me wrong. This is the week they could prove me wrong. I'm going to tip Hawthorn. Would not surprise me, though, if the Kangaroos won. And the only reason why, if Hawthorn didn't play games in Tassie as well, then I would go the Kangaroos.
Kangaroos were very good in Tassie a couple of weeks ago, Damo, against very good Melbourne. Against they Melbourne. Were 13 points
they
up were. In that third quarter. And if they it wasn't
were.
For a couple of mistakes.
It's a Hawks fortress as well. They've got a lot of players that's played down there a lot as well.
Your take on the Kangas?
Well, if they try to actually win the game as opposed to try to get the process right, Joey, and I refer to the comments made by the coach last week, and I know their words, I know there was context to how he said that. So I get all of that. But just try and win the game of footy as a starting point, given you're playing the 17th team, as they were last week, which Collingwood was before that particular game. They've, for the second week in a row, they've got the team immediately above them on the ladder days. I reckon they've just got to hit go on the situation because it's 16 in a row and 22 of their past 23 now.
Damo, I want to stick up for David Noble here. How do you win a game of football?
You can't,
what do you have to do
and
right?
And you can't win it without system. You can't win it without getting all the things and the processes
you
right.
You sometimes forget. If you want to be like that, Ross Lyon every single week spoke to us about don't worry about the result, worry about the process.
You lost one game one year.
That's right. And the mantra was the same as David Noble's, that you've got to worry about the process and doing all the things right and the result will take care of itself.
I reckon Ross would have changed the process if you were losing 16 in a row.
Yeah, well, that's a different argument, changing the process as opposed to trying to win. Just because you're focusing on the process doesn't mean
you can be so focused on getting yourself better, you actually forget that the 2 hours of a game are allowed to be treated in isolation of the process sometimes, I reckon, particularly when you are so badly off on that win-loss component.
I think the process can still involve game day. The process you're trying to implement on game day is still what I think he would maybe been talking about rather than the Monday to Friday, but...
Correct, If we had got these things right in the game, we would have given ourselves more of a chance to win.
They've been competitive the last few weeks.
They have. Just can't sustain it for full four quarters yet. And late in quarters.
Late in quarters get
but they're getting closer. They will win a game soon for you, Damo. I know they will. They'll win a game this year, and I think it might be this weekend. And the last one, right now.
Are you going to tip him?
I probably will, yeah.
You will?
Yeah, I probably will.
Make him your certainty when we get to
I won't make him my certainty, but I think I will tip the Kangaroos this week. I give them a chance. Last one. Right now, with the premiership race is as wide open as it's been in years. If I gave you $100 and bet gamble responsibly, who would you be putting your $100 on right now to win the premiership?
Geelong.
Geelong. Very good.
Geelong.
Yeah, you've seen their best now.
Yeah,
their best is better than everyone else's.
Well, I think I just think they got the three guys into the club. So obviously Smith, Higgins, and Cameron, they all played together for the first time on the weekend, and we saw what improvement they'll bring to this footy club. So I think that their list, and once again, fitness plays a big part. Yeah. But I think the Cats, and we all thought at the start of the year the Cats. I tipped West Coast at the start, but right now I'm prepared to say. And by the way, big Friday night game against the Saints.
Yeah, if you were to bet, Daisy, I'm not sure if you like a bet, but if you did, who would you put $100 on? Dealing responsibly, of course, to win the premiership.
Yeah, I'd be doubling down on the bet that I put on before the season. I'd be going Port Adelaide. I think.
Really?
Yeah, still doing enough right with a whole lot of improvement to come.
Can I have $33.33?
No, you can't.
On Brisbane, Port, and Geelong. No, I'm with Duck and Daisy. I like the Cats. As a starting point.
I still think Melbourne. I'll tell you what is going to be crucial, I think, we get towards it back into the top four spots because we know the teams like Brisbane, Port Adelaide, West Coast have issues winning away from home. And I think in such an even year, home ground advantage will be crucial come preliminary final night. So
can the eight change? We talked about it last week.
So read out the eight.
The eight right now is Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Port, Geelong, Brisbane, Sydney, West Coast, Richmond. And just outside of that are GWS, Fremantle, St Kilda, Gold Coast, Carlton.
I think the eighth set. Yeah. I think the Swans. I think the Swans were the only team that you would say maybe, but after the way they played against Melbourne, I think they showed enough that they'll win enough games to stay inside the top eight.
On exposed form, the vulnerable one's Richmond, but it's Richmond.
Exactly
so,
right.
So you'd have to leave them in.
Yeah, huge game against Richmond. We'll chat about that next because they take on the GWS Giants, and we know about Richmond's injury troubles, and they've just got a tough little patch, the Tigers. We'll talk about that next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I've studied the form for 81 days, and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M rocks footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app. And as always, to start this final segment, as we look ahead to the weekend's games, let's look back to our certainties, and let's see if anyone got one wrong.
I'm going to give the Suns as my best of the weekend.
Oh, Daisy, beautiful. Really? It was beautiful because you're now up to a slab, Daisy. Oh. That's 4 weeks in a row, I think.
Just that football club riddled with passengers. I can't have them anymore.
You do realise it's meant to be
they led all day.
I know.
Led all day.
Yeah. Oh. You know this is a certainty bet, not just one that you're taking as a value bet. Your certainty. So yeah. I want you to sharpen up because I took Melbourne to beat the Swans. Duck, you went out and took the Cats to beat Richmond. And Damo, you went with the Dogs.
Go over the Blues.
Over the Blues. So we're all right. So at the moment, you now owe a slab. Damo and Duck owe 12 beers and I still owe 6. So let's take a look at these games this weekend. And if you like the certainty, you can go first. Let's start with St Kilda versus Geelong. Friday night at Marvel Stadium. Can anyone see the Saints winning?
No, I'd be happy to take the Cats, given that...
He's not fair. He jumps in first every week.
You said.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Right. I can see the Saints winning. I don't think they will. But to answer that question, I can. Paddy Ryder's re-inclusion for the past 2 weeks, particularly crucially late against the Suns last week, to think that he came out of last year with that banged-up hamstring, then went away for personal reasons, and then first up in round 7 gets a win... Second up, gets a win in round 8. He's so crucial.
He is so crucial. But can I ask, I'll ask you then, Doug. He is crucial to St Kilda, but is it a concern that St Kilda seem to be relying on a 33-year-old ruckman who's got some vulnerabilities with some injury?
Yeah, it is a concern.
He's like the sort of, the, you know.
It's become almost a barometer for them.
Yeah.
When he's in there and he's firing, they look a much better team, don't they?
They are. Yeah.
No, I won't take that game then. Okay. I've got another one.
Everyone tipping the Cats.
Correct.
Yep. Which one would you like to go then, Duck?
I'm gonna go the Swans.
Swans are certain to beat the Pies.
Yep.
Done. Okay. Good one. Yep. You like what you saw from Sydney last week?
Yeah, I did. I think they're not world beaters, but they've certainly got some really good young talent, as we've discussed already.
And we thought they were going to fall off the cliff a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and they've sort of responded as well. So they're doing some good things.
They had Braden Campbell and Nick Blakey playing the reserves last weekend. So they've still got some pickings to come back into the side. You're not concerned about Lance Franklin, Damo, after one quiet game?
Not on one game. Yeah. No.
Did Kane Corns write him off?
He said it was at the start of the beginning of the end.
I mean, anytime you're playing up against Stephen May, you're in for a game of footy, and he's obviously coming in underdone. It wasn't the ideal condition for him. Need to see more body of work before you make that sort of statement, in my eyes.
Yeah, I like the Swans. I think they're a very good side. They should win that game against the Pies. What about the other big one? We touched on it before. Richmond v GWS at Marvel Stadium. Richmond are missing 5 or 6 of their best players. Lambert, Cotchin, Edwards now, Prestia, Grimes will be back. Can the GWS Giants win this? Because this is the one that Damo's touching on. This is the one team that are vulnerable just in the eight, Richmond. They've got Brisbane at the Gabba to follow. They wouldn't want to drop this one.
They wouldn't. And the Giants are going well. Kicked over 100 points in their last two games. So they've found new avenues to goal, sort of reinvented the way they played. They played really slow at the start of the season. Now they're just playing... To your point before, Damon, they play playing like they're playing free. They're not following the system and so much structure that they were in the first couple of rounds, and they look like a completely different side. I give them a red-hot chance, but I think the Tigers, I'm sort of old school in my thinking. I think they'll just respond, and they're still too good to let this happen again.
We talked about barometers before. If Mumford plays, they win because they've won 4 that he's played and lost the 4 that he hasn't. So if he's in, I'm going to go with the Giants.
Big mummy. I did that game on the weekend and I know he was in, but oh boy, might as well not have been.
Yeah, right.
No, he was thereabouts.
So it's a bit of a myth though.
We know
he when he plays,
no, because
they
he's really, he can be really up, which he was the week prior, but on the weekend he was just running around and he does. And I think with his presence, people do sort of get a little bit wary of when he's around. So there's that element to it. But in terms of one of his better games last week, it wasn't. I wouldn't surprise if the Giants win. But I'm going to tip the Tigers only because we trust them more and they've been such a great team.
I played under 12s against Shane Munford and he was a similar size to what he is now.
Yeah.
He would just genuinely, by the way, just little scrawny kid, he would just mow
haircut,
people
that
over.
New haircut. Yeah. And he does. And
is that a haircut or is he actually going
and
bald?
And I agree, they're 4 from 4 with him playing, but I think there's a slight bit of coincidence that they're playing much better football as a team and Mumford in the side, necessarily not because of Mumford, but they are going much better than the Giants, and I reckon that'll be an absolute cracker. Hey, can I take my certainty in the Power v Dogs game? I think Port Adelaide are my certainties to win this. I know the Western Bulldogs were amazing in that sort of last quarter to come back and win. I think they've shown some little bit of vulnerabilities still defensively. Unless they're dominating through the midfield, they can be scored against. I think this Power team will match them in the midfield. They are one of the best contested ball sides in the competition. I think Port Adelaide are most certainly to beat the Dogs.
Cracking game, this one. This is the match of the round for me. Yeah. This will be an absolute beauty. Power at home. I can't disagree.
Mate, Power at home kept their opposition to 55 points or fewer in their 4 games. That's unbelievable. 50.
It'll give us another snapshot. It'll give us another snapshot. I reckon always from round 7 onwards, we start to find out where teams are really at and how good they really are. This will give us another insight into, you know, whether the Dogs or the Power will be right at the pointy end.
Who's your certainty? Daisy, pick the game.
Well, you said not to sort of go with a bit of a specky, but I am.
That's all right. It's beer for us.
I'm going to take North Melbourne.
Kanga, Kanga, Kanga.
You're going to go the Kangas as your certainty.
Well, I went and I've had to call Hawthorn the last 2 weeks, and they've been disgusting to watch. I wanted to go home at halftime on the weekend.
You fell asleep at quarter time in the West Coast Hawthorn game.
They just kicked 5 points. They didn't score. They were zip-zip in the first quarter the other week.
Dreadful game.
It was a tough game to watch, although there's some of my mates play there. I'm going to go with the Kangas.
They can drag you back. Hawthorn, can't they?
Yep.
They have this great ability of bringing you really down to where they're at.
West Coast and Hawthorn, that game was as if they both just didn't want to kick the ball to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just played keepings off and tried not to score. It was bizarre.
Joey, I'll then go with the Demons being my certainties against Carlton.
Really? You're going to go
danger,
the
this has got to be a danger game.
I've got Absolutely. A feel. Yeah. I'll tip Melbourne, but I've just got this feel it'll be a game that Carlton could potentially win, Daisy. And then all the Carlton fans will think, see, everyone was wrong. We're back. We're great. But
and then
they are capable of winning
the
these games. Yep. But it's more the manner they play defensively. I don't think it allows them to be consistent enough week in, week out. But they are a good side. They will eventually beat a really good team. And it could be this week against Melbourne.
Do we agree that Wiedering now, you talk about how teams play differently against West Coast with McGovern as a centre-half back. And you almost want to play around him. You almost have to do that against the Blues now. That's how good Wiedering is.
Yep.
It was almost rude he wasn't in the All-Australian discussion last year. He has to be the All-Australian centre-half back at this point of the season.
Superb.
Yeah, I agree. And touch on your point, because Carlton's system defensively isn't great, they rely so much on individuals to actually save them defensively in Wiedering and Jones. So I think they're doing a great job, but that'll be a good game. Hey, thanks, guys. Another good show. Another good edition of the Triple M Midweek Rub. Of course, it's exclusively on the Listener app. And don't forget, you can listen to every game across Round 9 on Triple M, starting with the Friday night matchup between St Kilda and Geelong from 6 p.m. with Howie Das, the Chief, Chase Dunstall, Nath Brown, Damien Barrett and Ash Chua. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.